Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Good afternoon and welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. Laura Camrath, how are you?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing awesome. I just got out of the dentist, so I can't feel one side of my face. But if you bear with me, I think I can talk okay. So.
I can hear you okay. And Laura, I brought with us a very special guest, John Horton. How are you?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me out to the show.
So, we appreciate you being here, John. So John has a pretty remarkable background in athletics. Six-time NCAA champion when he was with the University of Oklahoma, and then went on to represent Team USA in the Olympics. 2008 Beijing, took home a couple medals for our country, and from there has done various things. American Ninja Warrior, three times competed on the show.
Five times.
Yeah, selling you short again, man.
I know, man.
Yeah, and my son and I are huge fans of American Ninja Warrior, by the way. And in retirement from the gymnastics career, has gone on to a career in business, public speaking, soon to be author. So, kind of a renaissance man, John.
Yeah, I got a lot going on. You know, I've been pretty fortunate, had a blessed career, 28 years of gymnastics. Yeah. So yeah, it was a long run, and made 2008 Olympics, and then I was the captain of the 2012 team as well, and was actually trying to make the 2016 squad, but it wasn't meant to be. It ended up hurting my shoulder pretty bad about 9 months before the games. Yeah, I ended up having my sixth reconstructive surgery right before my third Olympic games, and so then retired from the sports and got involved in American Ninja Warrior, where I've been on five seasons now, actually four regular seasons of the show. What people see on NBC is traditional American Ninja Warrior. Been on four seasons of that, and then I've been on kind of the new hit thing. It's called Ninja versus Ninja. And it's on, I'm gonna make sure I get this right, or I don't want the news or the people get mad at me. I believe it's USA Network. So I got to get that right. But on USA Network, Ninja versus Ninja, they set up two courses side by side.
Cool.
And the best ninjas, we all race each other. And it's a blast. And so had a lot of fun doing that. Thought I was going to be a lot better at it than I am. But it's been a humbling experience. And like you said, now I do a ton of speaking around the country. And got a couple different business ventures that I'm involved in. One of them is a Ninja Warrior related business. And we were talking about it before the show, basically what I do. And we can go into more detail, I guess, in a little bit. But I set up ninja courses across the country for companies, schools, universities, churches, everyone, and kind of give people a Ninja Warrior experience. And it's a blast. And so, you know, really the last thing I do is I'm working on a couple books and, you know, kind of wrapping up my career. And I love to share it with people. I love to give people hope through what I've experienced.
He's wrapping up his career.
I know, 32 years old.
Like at the age of when a lot of people are just getting started.
wrapping up one career and turning it into something else, I guess.
And that's one of the reasons I invited John onto the show, because he's in many ways having to reinvent himself. And so one of the things we like to do is tell us about your background, and we couldn't do it justice with the amount of time we have here. And what I'm going to do is plug. I've seen John tell his story a few times. Incredibly inspiring. Literally going from last place to one of the best in the world on the podium with our national anthem playing, representing Team USA. And that story is incredible. And then stories of adversity, including injuries and huge embarrassment, right?
So, yeah.
But we won't get into that today. So you have to go see him speak.
Well, I think the one thing that I'd want people to take away is, if you want to hear me come speak, I'll just give you an idea. Whereas most people think the background of an Olympian is some, you know, if you go to the Olympics and you win a couple medals, you must have been some kind of child prodigy growing up. That wasn't really my story. It's not. I'm not Michael Phelps. I wasn't born with fins and flippers, you know, smoking people in a pool. You know, my background is very different. I wasn't the most talented kid in the world. And it was really a lot of ambition, faith in myself, and just a relentless pursuit that eventually got me where I was.
Wow.
Right. And so you have to hear the story. So go see him speak. But what we want to talk about is, when you're in the Olympics, you have all these major, major endorsements, and you're able to make a lot of money through those endorsements. And in retirement, they kind of dry up.
Yeah.
And you're on your own, and you have to reinvent yourself. And when John and I met, it's actually on the golf course, we were talking about business, and he said something that I found really interesting, was that he wanted 15 to 20 incomes, revenue streams. I would assume more passive than active revenue streams, but I wanted to get into a few of those and understand what you've been doing lately.
Yeah, well, so I'll kind of start from the beginning, just in terms of, you know, how my career ended. And you're absolutely right. I was very blessed at one point in my career when I was really at the pinnacle of it. I had, you know, six different sponsors. Things were going great. I wasn't making like LeBron James money, but I was doing very well. I was a, you know, full-blown professional athlete. And, you know, as soon as I had my first injury in 2011, things started kind of falling off. I made the 2012 Olympic team, didn't win any medals in 2012, and then suddenly sponsors are like, we don't know if we want to sponsor you anymore. And so then I didn't make the 2016 team, and I lost everything. Everybody dropped me. And so, you know, at one point, I feel like it's pretty typical in everyone's life. You think, hey, I'm doing something great. I'm moving and grooving, and then boom, you hit this wall, and you aren't sure what to do. And for me, I went from making great money to, hear this, $0. Not $1 was coming in a month, nothing. And when I hurt myself before the 2016 games, I was fully expecting myself to make the next Olympic team. I was on my way. I was in the best shape of my life. I was strong. I was ready. And so here I am thinking, here's the plan. It's all going to pan out. And then I flatlined. And so, you know, for me, I went through a really, really hard time. I don't want to say, you know, depressed, but pretty close.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that go through this moment where they're like, I'm done. It's not going to work anymore. I can't figure this out. Mm-hmm. And you go through this moment of zero faith in yourself. I don't believe I can do this anymore. I'm not going to pull out of this, but I want everybody to know that's listening. Even an Olympian goes through that. And so for me, I kind of lost everything at once, and I had to reinvent myself and find a new way to pull myself out of this hole, provide for my family. I've got a wife and two kids at home, you know, a lot like yourself. And so you know what it means to go into that like fight or flight, like I got to survive mode. So I started coming up with ideas on how am I going to take what I know, what I'm good at, eliminate the things that I know I'm not good at, and just focus on a couple different things, and I'm going to blow this up into a business. So that's what I've really done. And I've got this radically ambitious goal, like I did as a gymnast, to become an Olympian. I want to have 15, 20 streams of income. I may never get there, but I'm going to do everything I can to get there. And I, you know, so, you know, like you said, yeah, passive is preferable, but, you know, I'm trying to start different businesses, trying to become a speaker. I want to give people hope and inspiration through what I've gone through, through my story, and along the way, create streams of revenue. And it's not about becoming the richest, wealthiest person in the world. We talked about this a little bit earlier before the show, but it's to create a lifestyle of freedom where I can also give back and help other people in the process. I think that if you can create a lifestyle of freedom and then support other people and mentor and be there for other people that want to get to your level, that's what it's all about. It's like, I'm not trying to be successful just for me. I want to be successful for my family and then for the other people that are looking up to me as well.
Terrific. So do we want to dive into one of these businesses in specific?
Yeah.
You mentioned it earlier, because I think this is incredible where it seems to be going with the...
Yeah, the ninja stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool because it's kind of on the fly out of the blue. So about a year ago, I got a new sports agent. And this guy, he's phenomenal. His name's Kevin Cry, lives in the California area. Sorry, Kevin, hope you don't mind me dropping your name. You're that cool. But he's a phenomenal guy, extremely hard worker, and he's been just great for me and to help me, you know, kind of get back on my feet. Well, Kevin has become a huge fan of Ninja Warrior and loves the sport, loves coming to support me. Well, he also represents somebody that many people know very well, Daniel Gill.
Love
and if you don't know Daniel Gill, he's known as the Kingdom Ninja, long black curly hair. He's a worship leader here in the Houston, Texas area, and just a phenomenal guy, but he's also one of the greatest ninjas of all time. I mean, he just smokes Ninja Warrior obstacle courses. And so me, Daniel, and Kevin, we were all working together, and Daniel and I were going out speaking at different events. We're also going to local gyms. Well, not just local. We're in, you know, national, you know, level gyms, Ninja Warrior gyms, gymnastics facilities, helping people start their ninja programs, and just using our knowledge of gymnastics and ninja, combining it together, helping these business owners that don't really know how to do it be successful. Well, along the way, we're finding that the demand for ninja is just through the roof. It's probably one of the fastest growing sports on the planet at the moment. Wow. And we started getting people asking us, hey, can you, is there any way you can set up some kind of ninja stuff, you know, temporarily in our facility? We'd love to experience what it's like. And so then all of a sudden we got this idea. We were like, we need to go and buy this giant ninja setup and be able to travel with it. So it's exactly what we've done.
Wow.
We've got this huge mobile, and I'll drop this number just because I think it gives people an idea of how big and beautiful it is. $150,000 obstacle course that we put on the back of an 18-wheeler, and we ship it around the country. And we just got done. This is what's really cool. We just got done with an event in Redding, California. And for anybody that knows what's going on in Redding right now, they're having these crazy, like, epic wildfires. Mm. And while we were in Redding recently, we set up at a church. We were supposed to be there for 3 days, and then the fire started. And we were about to up and leave. We were like, well, nobody's going to come to our event. Just as we're about to pack up and leave, the fire starts, and everybody says, please don't go. We need some kind of joy in this time of sorrow. Everyone's losing their houses. There's like thousands of houses that have been burned down. So then all these people that are displaced from their homes, they come and hang out with us for 3 days. And you could just see these kids. It gave them a moment to take their minds off of the fires. And it was so cool to see people in there just loving what they were doing, trying out the salmon ladder and the warped wall and the rolling log and all these things. And for just an hour and a half, 90 minutes, they were able to forget about everything that was going on around them. And we actually had people come up to us and say, we need this everywhere. We need this event all over the country during natural disasters, during times of celebration, everywhere for every event. Mm. And so just like that, when we thought, okay, this event isn't going to happen, we kind of stuck it out. We stayed there for people. We ended up keeping our course there for 5 extra days. Mm. And people got to come for free. And it was so cool just to see the impact we had. And now business is, I mean, it's starting to move and groove, and we're so pumped about what we're doing. We're thinking about buying more courses and sending them around the country and sending more ninjas to it.
Could this be like a ropes course for corporate? Could they set this up in their parking lot and team building type activities or competitions? Where do you think this could go?
That's already one of the markets that we're looking into. We've already had a bunch of corporate companies contact us and say, hey, can you do this for us? Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of these companies, you know, they'll do their quarterly conventions. Yeah. They'll bring in speakers and things like that. Try to get, you know, team building, inspiration. You know, you want to get your employees excited about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. What more is there? What more is exciting than to get your employees in there and try something new? Take them out of their comfort zone, because everybody gets stuck in their little box. Yeah. And I've seen grown adults, I'm talking 50, 60 years old, that have always maybe thought, hey, maybe I could do some of this ninja stuff. They get on our course and they try it and they go, I feel alive again. Mm-hmm. And they're loving it. And so we can take our course, and we need a good amount of space. We need, like, you know, in like a ballroom, we could set it up, and it's just not hard to do, but it's just a blast. Kids, adults, everybody, we can take this thing worldwide and set it up anywhere and just give people a taste of what it's like to not only be a part of the show, but to stay fit, use their bodies, have some fun.
That's terrific.
I love how you say you retired from sports, but you really never did. It's like you retired from one kind of sport and went to another kind of sport. but yeah, I'm so impressed with your passion. I'm a road cyclist, so I've ridden, I don't know, 10 Houston to Austin road bicycle rides for multiple sclerosis. And yeah, I love getting on my bike. Like, I can see you love the sports that you do, the gymnastics, I can feel your passion for, the joy that it gives you and that it gives other people. And of course, you know, bringing that to, you know, the world, really.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about bringing that joy to you know, the corporate world to, you know, just people needing distraction from, you know, I mean, really, we all need distraction, but
yeah,
you know, especially from a natural disaster or, you know, that's amazing. I wish you would have been here during Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah. You know, we thought about that too. It's such a coincidence that Daniel Gill and I, who both experienced Hurricane Harvey, happened to be in Redding, California during this wildfire.
Yeah.
And we were able to really relate with everybody that was there. We understood, we got it. We were able to sympathize with the community. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I've got a passion for it. And I think it's important that everybody find what their passion is and just do everything they can to just use that passion to give back to people.
That's fairly close to what my philosophy is. And when you start something like this podcast, you're going through, Laura and I, our entrepreneurial journey, and we're sharing it with people in hopes that it inspires and helps them either, you know, start their own businesses or help them when they're in those periods of time, like you talked about earlier, the dark times when you're like, I think I got to shut it all down. It ain't working. And so I agree with you. This is us in a way giving back. At some point, maybe we'll make some money doing it, but we're not there yet, right? So where can they find this business available on the web? Is there any way, or do they have to contact you directly?
So I like to be a wide open book for people. So I'm available. People can contact me on my email, which is very simple. It's jonathanhorton@att.net. And you can take a look and Google me. It'll come right up for the spelling. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm big on Instagram. I love to communicate with people. You can send me private messages or comment on my post at jhorton11. And so people can contact me those two ways. And also, go check us out. We don't have a whole lot up on our website yet because it's so new. But ninjacoalition.com.
Okay, good.
And you can see kind of how everything's evolving. I think we're starting to put some posts up about our events that we've done. We've done a few already. They've been wildly successful. We're really excited about the future. And we're just going to keep rolling with it. And it's so funny. Along the way, after retiring from my gymnastics career, I find myself stressing and being worried and not knowing what's going to happen next. And I think in our entrepreneurial journeys, we start to panic a little bit. But if we just keep kind of moving every day, meeting new people, doing something different that we didn't do the day before, eventually, everyone always uses this term, oh, I fell into this. You didn't fall into it. You walked your way into it. Like, you just kept moving forward. But if you stop and don't do anything, you don't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. See, I could say I fell into this Ninja Warrior, Ninja Coalition business, but I didn't. I just kept moving, and eventually I found it. And so, you know, I think that's something that I've been trying to tell other entrepreneurs, that you meet a lot of people, they start a business, it doesn't work, they start a business, it doesn't work, they keep starting. Well, eventually you're going to fall into something that does work. Just keep going.
That's right. You make your own luck. And there's a word that I love, and it's inertia. Things in motion tend to stay in motion.
Yeah.
And that's what I live by, John. So it's very similar. What else do you have going on outside of that? We could talk about the book. Is there any other business ventures you wanted to cover?
Yeah. So, you know, really the only two big things that I'm focusing on at the moment is, you know, we mentioned the streams of income. So it's like I've created a bunch of little things. You know, I've got shirts, I've got the book thing, I've got all these little things. It's like, if I can create these little streams and have a few big ones, that's kind of the goal. I mean, it takes a while to develop 20 streams of large income, but I can create small ones in the process and watch them snowball. And so, you know, I'm creating kind of my own apparel stuff right now. And then also the book, my autobiography should be done November, December time. And then I've got a ghostwriter for that one, because it's really hard, you know, and I thought it was going to be easy to sit down at a computer and write out my life. But you know what? I found that it's better to share my life with someone else and have them put it into a beautiful, beautiful display. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I found an artist who I've shared, you know, his name is Brian Wright, actually, lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And Brian's an awesome guy. If anybody ever wants to be connected to him, email me. I'll tell you about Brian. Mm-hmm. But he's an amazing writer. He's got his own podcast called The Success Profiles Radio. Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of volumes of different books that he's writing. But I called him up. I said, here's what I want to do. Can you help me out? And so for like a month straight. Him and I were on the phone for like 2 hours a day. And he wasn't doing any talking. It was just me, just like telling my story. And so right now he's just formatting it, putting it into, like I said, like a masterpiece. And I'm hoping it comes out really well. We're going to have the first draft done here in a few days. And then we're just going to keep going with it. But other than my autobiography, I did sit down and write my own book. It's kind of a personal development book geared towards entrepreneurs. And also, I found a way to gear it towards entrepreneurs and young athletes. Because I think that there's a great connection between what it takes to be a pro slash Olympic athlete and a successful entrepreneur. There's a lot of similar mindset that you have to have in order to be successful, which is why I love to share the stage with other entrepreneurs and, you know, tell about my journey. But that's really kind of what that book's all about. I don't know what I'm going to title it yet, but I've got some pretty good stuff in there that I have not read in other books.
I couldn't agree more with that connection. Somebody had posted on Facebook some video of Jonathan competing in Beijing in 2008, and Laura, you got to watch this video. The performance, not just the performance, but his face during the performance, just laser focused. And as an entrepreneur, it takes that laser focus, and you have to be relentless and not give up. And just an incredible performance. So that was really neat to see.
That was probably the highlight of my career. So, you know, everybody wants to be their best under the most pressure. And I have been my worst under the most pressure many times until finally I had prepared myself mentally and physically enough. And then at the Olympics, had the greatest performance of my life. I like to compare it to like a pitcher throwing a perfect game. I didn't make any mistakes. I nailed all my routines. And you're right, like I was laser focused, but you could probably see at the end of every one of those routines the celebration that came with it. And I think it's okay. As an entrepreneur, celebrate every little victory. And but then as soon as that celebrate for a minute, then get back to that laser focus or you'll get off track.
That's right. And learn from those failures too.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point, because I think it can be easy as an entrepreneur or athlete to, you know, notice the things that aren't working, but not pay enough attention to the things that are. And, you know, it's recognizing our successes that can help us, you know, power on, because, you know, it's hard, like, you know, using your body in that way, that's hard. You know, for a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of us are doing something maybe that's never been done before, or we're doing something that's totally new to us.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it can be easy to be like, oh, this isn't working and that's not working and this isn't working. But if you stop and look at your progress and benchmark too, like, okay, where was I last month and where am I now? And really recognize the successes and use that as, you know, your fuel to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something there that is spot on, is recognize the success and don't dwell in the things that aren't going well. You know, for me in gymnastics, my worst event was the pommel horse. Always was, always will be. I was known for the other five events, but then there was that one that was just mega weakness. I worked on it, but I never dwelled on it. Like, I knew I had five events that were going to take me to the top. And I was just like, I was laser focused on those. And, you know, I did everything I could to try to keep that weakness as, you know, as strong as possible. But I never let myself just overthink it and think, hey, because of that, I can't be successful. It was the other five events that I was able to be successful on and celebrate what I could do on those. And so I think, yeah, your point is perfect.
And as an entrepreneur, a lot of times that you got to outsource that pommel horse.
Yeah. And we did. Yeah. And we did. We absolutely did. We had one guy on our team. His name was Alexander Artemev. The only event he did for us at the Olympics was pommel horse. And it was because I was so bad on it. And so you nailed it. Outsource what you're not good at. Surround yourself with people that are strong at what you're weak at.
I think that's going to be a great book. And hopefully you get that completed. That's the one you're working on your own. That sounds really challenging.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not the greatest writer in the world. So what you read, it'll be edited and published, but it's going to be raw straight from my brain, which could be interesting.
Excellent. And then the public speaking, you know, your public image, that you've been doing really well with that too. And I've been following. We actually, one of the first things we connected on was around public speaking. And do you remember what you shared with me, the three things?
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember if I was just sharing it with you or if you actually asked. But, you know, I believe that there's three things that you have to be a great speaker. And the first one is, obviously, you got to inspire people. And then, you know, once, you know, if you can inspire someone, if you can, you know, share your story and you can relate with those people, you know, they're going to listen to you. The second one is you got to entertain them. If you can't entertain people, you're going to lose them right away. Be funny. You know, life isn't always so serious. You got to tell some jokes. You got to, you know, self-deprecation is great. You know, make fun of yourself. I'm a whole 5'1" on a good day wearing boots with my hair spiky. So, you know, make fun of yourself from time to time and have a good time with the crowd while you're speaking. And the last one is you got to make the hair on the back of people's necks stand up. You know, tell them something that they go, wow, and they get goosebumps. And if you can do that as a speaker, you've won. You've won the day. You've won the crowd because they've won. They're the people that are listening to you now, they can leave with something and they're not going to forget. And you know, I listen to speakers every day. As a gymnast, I was obsessed with my craft. I researched other gymnasts. I watched them every day. When YouTube came out, I was like, whoa, I can watch gymnastics all day. Now, as a speaker, I watch speakers daily. And I want to hear what other people do to make themselves successful. And so that's what I'm trying to do now as a speaker is find a way to, you know, give people something like speakers have given me. To get up and tell a story. And when speakers can tell a story, and a story, like, I'm not going to remember you preaching to me, but I am going to remember your story. And that's what it's all like that. If you can do that, you know, the people that I've listened to that have really impacted me, it's just storytelling in a powerful way that will relate to other people.
That's right. Yeah, that stuck with me. And I, you know, as I work on my public speaking and start getting more gigs, I always think about those three, man. So thank you for that. And of course, you've got one of my dream jobs. I know you've been doing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot NBC. About this one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So as a commentator, right?
Yeah. So like I said, man, I got a lot going on. I forgot. One of my dreams that's finally coming to fruition, and I know you've told me, man, you would love to do that as well, is, I work for NBC as a commentator. I'm one of the primetime commentators for when gymnastics is on TV. I got to, you know, kind of the silver lining to getting hurt before the 2016 games was that NBC called me immediately and they were like, hey, we don't know how to say this, but we're sorry you got hurt, but would you like to come be the commentator for the Olympics? Oh. And I was like, heck yeah, I would. And so I got to go to Stamford, Connecticut. Everybody thinks I was in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I wasn't there. Huh. We actually, technology is so good now that you don't need to even be there to get good quality voice and video feed. And so NBC, they were like, yeah, come to Stamford, Connecticut. It's where we're headquartered. They've also got another studio in Denver, Colorado, where I go a lot and I do a lot of work. But yeah, I got to go and you know, it was funny. I don't know if Bob Costas knows this, but Bob Costas works in that studio. And I was on camera a few times and they were like, hey, you need a sport coat. And I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't bring one. They were like, well, try this one on. And it was Bob Costas' coat that he wears when he's on air. They at least told me that. I don't know if it's true. But they were like, yeah, you guys are about the same size. I was like, cool. So, yeah, I love doing it, being able to, you know, kind of share my insight. I'm known as a color commentator. So there's play-by-play and then there's color. Those play-by-play guys, when you get to know what they really do, it's impressive. It's hard work. The color, I got an easy job.
As a speaker, I love listening to baseball on the radio. Those guys, if you ever listen to baseball Astros here in town or my Boston Red Sox, those guys are incredible. Just no filler words, no anything. They are on point and on for nine innings of baseball, which isn't always the most exciting sport.
Oh, I mean, that's what's so impressive. You see, you got the color guys, which is me. And let's say I'm watching a gymnastics competition. I'm just calling it as I see it. Hey, that guy did this kind of flip. That did this kind of flip. Oh, he stuck his landing. Whereas the play-by-play, they might not even know anything about the sport. But they're sitting there filling time with information that they're pulling off the internet and sounding mega intelligent. Mm-hmm. And oh man, their jobs, like that's what Bob Costas does. Mm-hmm. He's just brilliant at it. And they're bringing you in, hey, welcome back to this event. I'm, you know, so and so, or hey, we'll be right back after this commercial. They're brilliant. They're so smart.
Wow. Very cool. Well, we're about to get wrapped up, man. Any other closing remarks from John Horton's camp?
No, you know, other than what we said before, if you have an opportunity to come see me speak, you know, I'd love to have everybody come out and love to share my story. But other than that, I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
We appreciate you coming.
So you bring in that Ninja Warrior setup here anytime soon?
We are actually another one of the projects I'm working on in February of 2019. We've got a huge event here in Houston called the Houston National Invitational, the HNI. Ooh. And it's one of the largest gymnastics events in the country that is, you know, open to the public. Hmm. If you want to go compete, you pay your money, you can go compete. And I don't recommend competing if you haven't done any gymnastics, but they've got cheerleading. They have CrossFit competitions. It's turned into a multi-sport event. Hmm. Started out as gymnastics, but now it's massive. And me and the Ninja Coalition, my team, we're gonna host a ninja event. Yes. In February. And we're going to try to get all of the top ninjas from around the country to come to it. It's going to be prize money. We're going to have a blast. We want kids to come watch. I mean, we're talking Drew Dreschel, Daniel Gill, Najee Richardson, Jesse Graff, all of the greats from the show. They're going to be here, and we're going to have just a killer event. And, you know, we're going to let the kids and the public compete, and then we're going to have an elite competition where people can come and watch and experience kind of what they see on TV in person.
Oh, I'm going to do the elite competition.
Hey, you're in.
Well, I'll tell you this. Everybody who comes on the show is a big idealist, and we support all of your ventures. So we'll make sure to help you out and help promote that with all of our listeners.
I appreciate that.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you all for joining. Now you get out there and close some business.
Big Ideas, small business.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.